Hello and welcome to our pre-recorded Divine Alchemy class gathering for August 13th, Wednesday, August 13th. I know on the card I have the 15th. I'm not really sure what was going on with me with dates. I know I had the live class scheduled for Friday, which it's not, it's actually scheduled for Wednesday. But I guess that is, indicative of time and the illusion of time and the illusion of the days and all of that stuff is, I'm really not paying too much attention to that, and I'm guided or governed by my scheduler, which tells me if I have clients or not, the next day, so that I can be prepared to do sessions. And I try to spend a good portion of my day when I'm not working, sitting in the energies and being present for what is being brought forward. And we're in really big energies. We're in really immense completion energies, culmination energies, and we're really going to feel it as these energies speak to us more deeply. We have been impacted very, very strongly by a bunch of eclipses in a row over several days. Heavy duty stuff. I mean, incredibly potent, along with a new Earth-facing coronal mass ejection, or coronal hole, rather, that's creating coronal mass ejections. And everything is just pushing and pushing and pushing. And we're going to feel it. I'm seeing it play out around me in various ways. The other day, Friday, actually, last Friday, I went to the grocery store and people were just in a funky place. They could not get out of their own way or get out of each other's way. Someone had pulled into a handicap spot and completely missed the handicap spot, and it was the first handicap spot out of two on the one side of the parking lot. And parked on the double line that was near the curb instead of parking in the handicap spot. They completely missed the spot by being to the right of the spot by a whole car width. But this is just showing us what's taking place out there. It's what's not seen by us or what's not felt by us, if we're not paying attention to the collective vibe. And, I'm noticing that the older community is really feeling the challenges, especially I'm noticing it when I'm driving on the road. And then the younger community, which there were several young people in the area where I live, have this heightened need for speed. And it's really not, it's really not just a regular thing. It's really not. It's really based on the fact that these energies are just pushing us so heavily. So, it's we have to really take a look at everything in the reality. so that we can have a indicator or barometer for, what is playing out around us, especially if we're someone that stays in our zone or, is very focused on one particular aspect of our life. We have to make that, we have to make that effort to really pay attention and be present for everything in our reality. I think one of the key elements right now is the need for balance and service of the self in our life. And I'm seeing a lot of people not making themselves a priority. As we look at what these moons have offered us, these moon phases and the energies at play, it's all asking us to go deeper. It's asking us to really look within and get ourselves straight because we have been taught to be of service for everybody else, but we're not good to others if we're not going to be good to ourselves, right? And this means taking our power back, reflecting and identifying an area where we can make an improvement to our habits and our routines. Maybe, tightening up our boundaries or having better discernment, allowing ourselves to move beyond the habits and patterns that are not serving us. I mean, these are not new themes, but these themes are coming up right now again in a stronger way because we are coming through a phase of completion. We have a Virgo new moon coming very soon in the next week. And then after that, we have eclipse season. And the first moon of the eclipse is a total lunar eclipse in Pisces. And the interesting thing about this time period is that it is a chapter of something that began last September 2024 being closed out. We might be able to even go back as far as March of 2024 to see what we might have been beginning. But the most important part here is to understand that we're being prompted in many different ways to move ourselves forward. Because if we're not moving forward of our own free will, the universe is going to do something that's going to force us to move ourselves forward. It's going to force us to really stand in our power and show ourselves what we're made of. It's like if you're asking for your own personal space and you want time for yourself and you want, you're looking for your perfect place and you're like, I could use myself as an example, my perfect place where it's just me. And, at the same time that I'm asking for that, I have to get really clear with myself that I'm asking for that on behalf of myself in a way that says, I'm okay if there's nobody around to help me. I will figure it out. But if I'm asking for that space to be in my own personal space, and there's a part of me that's still looking for somebody to fix something or somebody to manage something for me, then I haven't quite gotten there yet. And the universe is going to keep giving me these tests until I realize I don't need anything else or anybody else, and I can be the only mode of support for myself that I need. And there's nothing outside of me, which then what happens in turn, which is what's been happening with this energies that we're in, is then I start reflecting to the hologram and I start to notice these little things because I'm here by myself with a dog and a cat. And for the most part, I'm here by myself. And it's great creating a great awareness to what plays out around me on a regular basis and where my thoughts go. Because when we're engaged with a community of people, we're not really clear on what it is that we're thinking. And so we're creating these realities based on the thoughts that we're having. And sometimes, if we're in a chaotic circumstance, we might not be paying attention to the thoughts that we're thinking, which then feeds that chaotic scenario that we're living, right? And I can use an example here. A few weeks back, maybe 2 or 3 weeks back, or maybe it's even a month now back, Joe and I ended up moving the peacocks to the small coop because they were pecking the new chickens that came in, and they had opened a wound on the top of one of the chickens' heads. And I felt like, oh God, this is Sunny all over again. And unfortunately, with Sunny and that situation, my choice was to move the peacocks and not the chicken. And that didn't happen because various circumstances at the time. And so the chicken, Sunny, ended up in the small coop. And because chickens are not really smart, there are, they will stand in the way of a car about to run them over and watch the car as the car runs them over because they're just not smart and they just don't know to get out of the way. They just don't know. So Sunny was, taken out by a raccoon because she probably didn't realize the raccoon was not her friend. And this time I was able to get the peacocks, the two male peacocks in the smaller coop. And unlike Sunny, who only survived a few short days in that coop before she was attacked, the peacocks have survived so far about a month. But I have been really working on my thought process every night when I lay down to go to sleep because I started to recognize that my thoughts, my innate fears that I was not really paying attention to, started to surface. And I didn't realize until I did realize that I was holding fear that something would happen and we're going to create whatever we're emoting. We're going to create that into the reality. And I did not want to do that. So I started to change the way that I was thinking and the way that I was feeling. And every night I was laying down and asking for four guardian angels to anchor on the property, holding blue light, sacred blue light of, the Blessed Mother or Mary Magdalene. Now, I haven't done those practices or done those rituals in a very, very long time because for myself, I don't really feel like I needed that, but I'm realizing that the negative thoughts in my head are a little bit stronger than my realization is in the moment. And so I started doing it again just to shift my perspective and just to get really clear and get really direct with my thoughts and my thinking. And now I'm at the point where I know when I wake up, the peacocks are going to be fine. So I'm starting to feel like I'm going to be okay letting go of the idea of the ritual in asking the guardian angels to anchor the property, because at the end of the day, after all, it is all my reality and my intention and emotional infliction to what is. And so it's really teaching me to manage my thoughts and my emotions in a stronger way so that I'm not miscreating energies. I hope that makes sense, right? And it's not about, somebody coming in to save the day and, building a bigger coop or coming in and taking the chicken somewhere else or taking the peacock somewhere else or doing, has nothing to do with that. It's about learning how to control and manage our intel, right? Our thoughts and our emotions and our energies so that we're not miscreating. Something happens, we don't like it, we start to feel in the lack of appreciation for it, right? In the lack of liking what is happening. And then we start miscreating in that emotional state because we don't even realize that we're struggling with whatever is presenting that we don't like. And then right away, we want to create a dynamic or a scenario where somebody has to step up and do something to help this situation along, right? And then we can either be mad at another person or blame another person or, and that's not how this works, okay? So we have to take responsibility, and these energies are gonna start to demand that, especially when we get into eclipse season, which is coming in September. And with the first eclipse, which is a lunar eclipse, a total lunar eclipse, it's just not a partial, right? It's a total, it wants total participation, total attention. And that's coming on September 7th, and it's a blood moon. And the blood moon simply means that the way that the earth is casting a shadow, the light of the sun reflects on the moon in such a way that it casts a reddish glow or a red orange glow on the moon, and that's why it's called a blood moon. But if you think about the symbology of that, right, and the blood of our soul, the essence of who we are, right? And when the Christ said, drink, this is the blood, right? The blood of me. Like, if we think about that, we're tuning into ourselves at a deeper level. It's heart-centric, okay? It's the blood of our soul. It is our true essence, the true nature of who we are. It's a very, very powerful time, a very, very powerful moon, okay? And because of the nature of it, it represents transformation so that we can release what's not necessary anymore. And in order to get there, we must have deep introspection. And that's the kind of work that I just explained as I shared the information on the peacocks and the chickens with you. It's about deep transformation through deep introspection, like not expecting anybody out there to do anything that I can't do for myself or to do anything to change the reality because I know the reality is based on me. Okay. So just take a breath and let that land for a second because I know that that is, a higher level way of looking at life. And it can be overwhelming, it can be frustrating, it can be triggering, especially if we've been taught to wait for somebody else to do something for us, right? So it's going to require our participation in a different way. The energies are also offering an invitation to explore and confront hidden emotions. And so, rightly so, because the moon in our astrological chart represents how we feel, right? Whatever sign your moon is in tells how you feel or how you navigate emotions. My moon is in Aries, and Aries is fiery and it's fast and it's the first sign of the zodiac. And when I was young, I would get emotional at the drop of the hat. Right? I was in love with horses, and when I saw a horse, I would cry instantly. My mother hated it. Right? She would say I was too sensitive, I was too emotional, I was too much. But that's who I was. But over the years, I learned to shift that. I learned to lessen that so that other people wouldn't feel uncomfortable about around me being too much. What part of yourself do you need to look at here with regard to exploring the depths of your emotional self and confront what emotions are hidden at this time with you? This moon is asking us to get in touch with them. Okay. And, last night laying in bed, I actually it started before last night. It was yesterday during the day. I woke up in the morning, had my little time out for meditation, got myself into alignment, went in to take a shower, heard my phone ringing. And the next thing I know, I was down the rabbit hole of, oh my goodness, nobody ever calls me. My phone never rings. Nobody ever calls me unless it's a solicitor or something like that. So I hope it's not my brother. I hope something didn't happen to him because, his wife had called me that one time to tell me he had colon cancer and he was going for surgery. And so my mind immediately went to something bad. And I stopped myself in that moment. I was like, why did I do that? Why did I go down that rabbit hole? Why am I looking at the phone ringing as something being completely negative in that respect? And turned out it was my eye doctor. They didn't realize I had moved out of New York. But it was very interesting to watch myself have these thoughts, have these emotions. And I realized in that moment, wow, something is coming up that's wanting to clear, that's wanting to present, that's wanting to be front and center. So I need to look at this and really figure out, like, why am I having these thoughts, right? And for good reason, because I'm tuned to the collective and I can see what's taking place in the collective. And there's a lot of emotional content out there regarding death of the self. And when somebody can't identify that it's a practice of shedding the old self in order to have the transformation, they're going to look at it as if they're really dying. Like, okay, I feel like I'm really dying, right? But you might not be really dying. You might just be going through a death of the old self. And so it's important for us to have that awareness so that we're not creating from a place of unconsciousness. And we're a conscious co-creator, because if we're having that idea of the death of the old self, and we've been doing that work for many, many years, only it's going to get stronger now, we might not be realizing that it's really not coming up because there's something wrong with us, right? Like, we may be thinking we have an illness or something else, but it's not happening because there's something wrong with us. It's actually happening because we are needing to look at those aspects of ourselves that we need to let go. Maybe we're a people pleaser. So we need to let go of that part of ourselves where we people please. Or maybe we're someone who's, let's take an influencer, right? Someone, I was this person on social media, and posting, 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 and, posting about how wonderful this modality is, or how wonderful that modality, or how you are doing this, or how what people are saying about you, and all of this other stuff, and trying to keep up with everybody else. But what we have to ask ourselves is, are we trying to keep up with the collective that's not even real, because it's a fabrication of the bigger picture of the hologram? Because we're needing to clear that level of distortion that says we're not enough as we are. We're not whole as we are. So we're going to constantly come up against the hologram. And the hologram, based on our energy field, our vibration, our resonance, whatever you want to say, is going to create these scenarios for you to play against, for us to play against, so that we can keep striving for something better, right? Striving for something more. But is there a something more? Is there? Is there really? I go through this conversation in my head every single day. Like, once you understand the reality and how the matrix operates, you stop trying to play against it because you realize there's greater opportunity in presence. There's greater opportunity. There's greater flow. There's greater payout in being present, in being in your flow. So these are the things that we're going to come up against, right? It's like trying to measure up against the family dynamic because, let's say, you went into art. We'll just use that as an example. I always try to use very personal stuff, not to pick on anybody or make anybody feel uncomfortable. But going into art, right? And your family not seeing any value at you becoming an artist. Meanwhile, it feeds your soul, and people that buy your art are so happy and so elated to have a piece of your artwork because it means something to them or it speaks volumes to them. But you decide not to do it because it wouldn't look good to your family. These are the areas where we need to get in touch with within ourselves. Because these energies are demanding that we shift this somehow, right? Going into the deeper work. And so, since it's a total lunar eclipse, it's about the reflection on what we need to let go of so that we can transform. It's asking us to reflect and go to the depths of our soul. So that we can look at what is just not aligned. It's like having a big weight chained to your ankle and trying to walk around with it and drag it behind you. It just doesn't work. After a while, that ankle cuff is gonna destroy your ankle, and you're probably gonna have to cut off your foot to just, get it off because you're not wanting to unlock the cuff and take the ankle weight off. I mean, it's that simple, yet it's that hard for us sometimes because we're not paying attention, right? And we think we have to measure up to society standards in a sense. I'm not saying anything new, but it's coming up again because now it's the next level, right? We've been doing this in layers for years and years and years. We've been doing this in layers, and now the layers are wanting us to go deeper, right? It's wanting us to go really deep, deep in where maybe, 10 years ago when we were, just starting the whole ascension process, right? Even maybe a little longer than that in 2012. And let's say we came across the blood moon then, we might not see it in the depth that we see it now. We might like go, oh yeah, the blood moon, and think Farmer's Almanac, something to do with the land and the earth. But no, this is really stoking the depths of our soul where we need to really step up and be in such complete presence. So these shifts that have been prompting us for all of these years are now being amplified with these solar flares. The last week, we've been having them every half hour. Like every half hour, not a X flare, but the M flares and the C flares, and that's all about consciousness shifting, and it's shifting the earth and the potential now for something greater to happen on the earth. For, the geophysicists are pointing to the fire lines on the earth, which is the Pacific Rim, for the next event. And they've been pretty accurate with the earthquakes that they've been predicting as I've been checking in with them on occasion. But they're predicting now the next level of events because the earth is going through her own transformation and her metamorphosis. So she has to go through the death of the old self. And we have to go through the death of the old self. And for both the earth and ourselves, it's just going to continue to deepen. So we have to look at what we're still dragging along that needs to go. What is that ball and chain around our ankle? What are we carrying that just does not fit in our life anymore? Is it a who? Is it a someone? Is it a something? Is it a place? Is it a residence? For me, I could go back to when I was living in, the other house with Beth. It just was not working. I knew it. I felt it. I could feel something. And I didn't know what to do. There was a lot of, confusion surrounding it, because it's a lot of the dynamics of, maintaining a higher perspective and everything. But then it be started to become clear, there is no saving anybody. You cannot help them anymore. They've got to figure this out and you have to move on and go on your own. And you can't be a guide for them. There's things they got to figure through that they're not wanting to do. Move on. And if you don't move on, we're going to take a Pluto wrecking ball right through your house and shake it up and get rid of whatever you're sitting on. And that's exactly what happened. But that's going to happen with all of us. And the reason that we're not feeling that yet is because we still have four big planets in retrograde, which is deep introspective states, right? So nothing is moving forward right now. If you are in your own business or your family's business, or you're seeing nothing is moving forward. If you are working for a big corporation, even then, nothing is moving forward. Everything is static right now because the energies are pointing us to go within, to go to the depths of our soul, right? And so this time of reflection is on darker themes, the themes that we've avoided that might hold anger, that might hold shame or blame or guilt, right? And we're being asked to really look. I mean, I can tell you last night when I was laying in bed after going through the whole death thing during the day, I was laying in bed and what popped up in my head is I could not sleep. I was laying, going back and forth, rolling around, was, my cat Chester that I took from Medford trying to give a good home to, and how angry he was because he didn't like the new home and he didn't want to be there and he missed his friends. And then I thought to myself, oh my God, maybe he belonged to somebody, but he was always with that pack of feral cats. So how could that possibly be? But, and then I thought to myself, all right, so you know what? I could sit here and I could beat myself up 7 ways till Sunday, or I could just feel the guilt and the shame and the anger with myself for not seeing it at the time, for not paying attention at the time, for wanting to do the right thing, but really, was that the right thing? Right? And this is what I'm talking about. If we don't sit and we don't feel the feels and really process through the stuff that we're dealing with, we're not gonna know, right? We're not gonna know. But at the end of the day, you think you're doing the right thing, but is it really the right thing? And now what I've learned from that scenario is step back, take a breath. Hang on for a day or two and just really assess all timelines, really assess all your opportunities, right? And touch all your bases and dot your I's and cross your T's and make sure before you move to making an action. All right? And then when something does come up, like, Chester, which was then followed by my ex-husband Pete, who I thought, I manifested the perfect relationship because I wanted someone with a boat. He had a boat. I wanted someone who was an experienced fisherman. He was an experienced fisherman to the highest degree. I wanted someone in their own business. He had his own business. I wanted someone who owned their own house. He owned his own house. And the perk of an in-ground pool would have been nice. There was an in-ground pool. Drove a pickup truck and everything. All of that, I manifested it. I wrote it just like I manifested this house here. But sometimes it's not meant to be in our perfection. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's a karmic relationship. Sometimes that's all it is. And it's to push you forward. And that relationship, as I was ruminating in it last night, made me realize how, had I not been with Pete, I don't know that I would have really gone deeply into my own business. I'd probably still be working the corporate job where I would have had cancer for the eighth time. And who knows if I would be here, I might have died from it. I don't know. But I do know that he had great purpose in my life. And I am deeply in love with that idea and concept, right? That we could support each other like that. Because if it wasn't for me leaving him at the end, he wouldn't have gone into therapy and worked through whatever issues he was having that didn't make him a good partner in marriage because he carried a lot of weight from his childhood and childhood abuse that he didn't want to talk about. So me leaving kind of did that for him. It kicked him out of his comfort zone and he had to make peace with what was taking place. And interestingly enough, Pete was a Pisces. So perfect and in divine timing that he is coming up so that I could be in review and I could resolve this within myself, right? But this is the work and this is how we have to do the work. We're being asked to get honest about our emotions instead of just saying, I'm okay. No, I'm okay. It's all right. It's okay. Yeah, I'm at peace. I'm all right. Whatever. We're not, right? We really have to feel the feels. So this is an important moment. If you find yourself thinking about something, get out a journal and sit and write down the key points of whatever it is. Sit down with your journal and write it out. Think about it. And really, allow yourself to come from that place within. Right? And then look at what is wanting your attention in bringing that back up again that didn't get healed or processed through the first time and get really clear and honest. Right? Because now we have the potential for deeper insights, for greater intuitive awareness like we've never had before, for big aha moments. But we're not going to get there if we're not doing the work or if we're looking to outside sources to blame. We can't do that. There is no such thing. We have to take it all within and be like, how am I a responsible creator to this event that I didn't like or this relationship dynamic that did not work for me, right? How am I part of the co-creation of that? That's what is important here. And what I found interesting is that there's different kinds of astrology, and there's a astrology called Vedic astrology. And I was friends with someone many moons back whose brother was a Vedic astrologer. She was a regular astrologer. And so when I was putting my notes together, I had this inkling that in Vedic astrology, because I've heard these names before, Ketu and Rahu are really key players right now in Vedic astrology with this blood moon. because they both symbolize karma and significant life changes. And I said, wow, yeah, that really resonates for the time that we're in. So it's all tied together on the grander scale in a big picture. But again, we have to be the ones that are willing to see that big picture and really dip our toe into that grander scale, right? And then this is, an area, a time, I should say, that through these big shifts, it can bring conflict. It can bring an argument to something so that it can end or it can shift in some kind of way. And, I already explained the situation with Beth that triggered my move, but I'm going to just say it was in its perfection, right? There's no hostility on my part, no anger, no resentment. Because if it didn't happen, I wouldn't have taken a step forward in a new direction for myself that was much needed that I needed to do. So look at where you are holding yourself back, that you are not allowing yourself to move forward through, right? Where is that for you? This energy is looking to help push everything up to the surface so that what's outdated, especially soul contracts that you're still playing out, right, that we're still engaged in, can be renewed into soul agreements that are in higher alignment. Bring them back. This is old work, really bring them back into alignment so that they can be honored. Okay, because otherwise we're still playing it out, and then it's going to take that much longer, and then it's going to take a really significant event to smack us upside the head so that it creates some kind of shift. So this eclipse season is wanting us to come into balance. And Virgo, which is this next moon, the new moon in Virgo, right, because we're in Virgo season, is going to start to give us that feeling. It's going to start to give us that feeling. And these energies are going to push us in that direction to help us bring more harmony and balance into our lives. Part of what we'll be presenting is the idea of bringing our spiritual side together with our practical side, right? So our higher knowledge that's innate, that is felt within us, with the practical, mundane day to day. Can we do that? How can we do that? What will that look like? Right? And that's what we're being asked. Can we find that balance? Can we make this more seamless for ourselves? Can we give ourselves an opportunity to balance what is not balanced as opposed to the energies coming in and balancing it for us when we're not paying attention? And because the first eclipse of the season is a total eclipse, and it's pointing us back to 2024, especially back to September. It's like, the final chapter in a book, or the ending of a movie, or maybe the last show of a series, and then the series ends. Look back to September 2024 and look at where you might have gotten poked, like what was going on in your life or your reality, right? For some of us, it's going to be really big and very bold and very blatant, like the poke I had. And for some of us, it's not going to be so big. It's not going to be so bold. It might be more subtle, but still very relevant and important for us to be present for, right? And line up with. And because the sign of Pisces, which is what the total lunar eclipse is going to be in, is deeply mystical, it's also deeply boundless, right? I have known so many people who were Pisces, like I said, my ex-husband Pete was one, who are so deeply empathic. It's almost a hindrance in their life, right? It almost jams them up in a sense of where they're not capable of moving themselves forward. And it's because when they feel it to the depth of their soul. And so being so boundless, which means also that we don't have boundaries, we don't have good boundaries. But it makes us highly, highly empathic and highly intuitive. And a lot of times, it's been my observation that people who are Pisceans, who are highly empathic and highly intuitive, don't want it most of the time. They do not want it, which is also an aspect of themselves that can create an addiction because they're trying to get away from these highly intuitive feelings that they're having. Okay. And you don't have to be a Pisces sun, right? Your sun sign does not have to be Pisces in order to have this dynamic that I'm explaining. You could have your rising sign, your ascendant in Pisces. Moon is very deeply feeling. If you're someone that has your moon in Pisces, very, very deeply feeling placement to have your moon in Pisces. Okay. And so, you know, there's other houses that would impact someone if they had Pisces in that house, but this is not an astrology class, so I don't want to go too deeply into this. If you wanted to look at something that was going on with you, you could do a session and I would be happy to look at that aspect for you. And then we could work through whatever's going on. But you know, these are just some principles that are very, very important to have an awareness of. And if you're somebody out there who has had or struggled with addiction issues, this could be why, because you have a Pisces placement somewhere that's very strong in your astrological chart that's creating these feelings that maybe you didn't realize were your gift of intuition and insight, right? But it's also Pisces is also, because it's so mystical, the place where beginnings and endings merge. Illusions dissolve and feel flowy and free. Right? And we're going to feel that through this phase, through this moon. We're also going to feel into our stories, our beliefs, and the roles that we play, because we're all playing a role. Okay? Look at what role you are playing in this lifetime. What role is that? Is it serving you? Why are you playing it? Who needs you to play that role for them? This is a time where we could have revelations surrounding this, and it could really help us move forward on our healing path. This moon wants us to feel everything, and this eclipse will ensure that we cannot avoid it any longer. This moon is going to make sure that we feel the feels, like it or not. And this is why it's so important to stay in the work, especially if we've spent too much time with our head in the sand, or we've allowed ourselves to be distracted by others or circumstances or scenarios, or if we are simply refusing to feel the feels, right? We put up an emotional armor. We don't want to talk about it. We don't want to feel it. We don't want to look at it. It's in the past. I'd prefer not to address it. But then, boom, it pops up again. Nothing will pop up that does not need our attention. If there's something that is in the past that is done and over and done and is, resolved in some way, shape, or form, we will not have to look at it again. But if something is not resolved, it is going to come back around for us to take a look at. Okay. So it's really important. And I would journal. Where do I allow myself to be distracted? Do I allow myself to be distracted scrolling on social media? I know that's a number one for me. And I used to be distracted. I'm not anymore because I'm so present to see it that if I start scrolling, by the time I get to the third or fourth, whatever it is, post that I'm looking at, all of a sudden I hear my higher self, that inner voice yell at me that go, you're distracted again. Get off your phone and go do something, right? And then I'll be like, oh yeah, I could pick up a paintbrush, or I could do this, or I could do that, right? So where are we being distracted? Are we surrounding ourselves with friends that are distracting us? Are we distracting ourselves with social activities just so that we don't have to be home in an environment that does not make us happy or does not make us feel comfortable, right? Where are we allowing ourselves to be distracted? That's a great journal question. And another great journal question, where are we refusing to feel the feels? What aspect of our life are we refusing to acknowledge or engage? Okay. Now, I'm going to tell you that your dreams are going to become very vivid if they haven't already, because we're doing so much timeline work now. I mean, it's over the top influences in timeline work that our dreams are going to feel very, very vivid. And the line of reality, whereas I could tell you that there were times I wake up and I'm not really sure where I am for a few minutes. I have to just lay and just allow my body to come back, allow my soul to come back into my body, right? Because it feels like the line is kind of blurred. And, these are unfinished timelines. Maybe a timeline that you've been playing out from a year ago, whatever, that you think you moved on from, but that timeline's still playing out and you're still doing some stuff that you shouldn't be doing because that timeline is still running parallel to this timeline, right? So those unfinished timelines, that unfinished business is going to be playing out in our dreams, and it's going to feel exhausting. And it's important for us to have an awareness to the idea that we need to allow ourselves to be so present that we're in the work and we're not in denial of the work, okay? Because this eclipse, these eclipses coming up, and these energies, especially the flares and the coronal mass ejections and the holes that are opening on the sun. They want us to liberate ourselves from all of this, to bring in what's more aligned with the soul. The soul is done. It's ready for soul alignment. It's done playing out the human experience. It's ready for next level everything. Okay. So it's important for us to have this awareness that by participating, we're really honoring the soul and bringing ourselves into deeper alignment with our soul. At this time, too, something important is that the sun is in the sign of Virgo, right? And very interestingly, because after we have the total lunar eclipse in Pisces, we're going to have a partial solar eclipse in Virgo. Okay, so we're having a double whammy here. And right now the sun, as it always is, opposite the moon, it's in the sign of Virgo, right? This full moon that's going to be coming up, the sun is going to be in Virgo. And Virgo, if you know anything about Virgo, Virgo rules our health and well-being. It rules our habits, our routines, our rituals. It rules how we work with ourselves on a mental level, a physical level, a spiritual level. And it wants clarity. It wants clarity where Pisces is the opposite. Pisces loves illusion, it loves fantasy, right? That's why a lot of times when Pisces can't cope with the fantasy and the illusion, it turns to something to numb that, which is the addiction stuff, right? But here, Virgo wants us to go out and be of service to others. And Pisces wants us to be water, stay in a placement of ebb and flow, in order to sit in introspection and go deep to see where we need to serve the self more. So there's going to feel like a conflict here. Okay. And that's okay. That's okay. Because we need to see where are we doing too much and not being enough. So, where are we putting our energy out? Where are we putting it forth in the world and neglecting to take care of ourselves or to do things for ourselves? Where is that space? That's the balance that we're trying to pull in, right? That's why it's important to be present and to really pay attention to what's taking place. But as I said, we could be in a great place of distraction with other people, and we're not doing what we need to do for ourselves. Lines may become blurred. And then, because of the lines feeling blurred, we're going to feel like we're between two timelines, right? Like things are not quite what they appear to be. And we can't quite get the handle on how to tighten it up to make it feel better, look better, seem better, right? So we're going to have to pay attention. We're going to have to sit in presence, and we're going to have to be okay seeing endings happening in our life and letting go when those endings come up. Because there'll be chapters that are going to be closing. That's the timing that we're in. So if we find ourselves in a battle with others and we're fighting with them over something and they apologize, but it happens again, the universe is asking you to see how you can either be in alignment through deep conversation with them in order to shift what is taking place, because remember, We are creating part of that conflict dynamic in that relationship, or we're going to have to let go of this person that is not serving our highest best good. Okay. And I'm just using that as an example because it's coming up a lot lately. Like I am hearing this all over the place. Okay. So every time I do a session, somebody is bringing up what somebody did or somebody said or something. And my first response is, well, you're a contributing factor to this. So by contributing to it, how are you into playing with it? How are you creating with it? What do you need from it? Do you need the experience of letting this person go? Because sometimes that has to happen. Or do you need the experience of seeing from a place of great clarity what you're bringing to the table? And maybe it's about you shifting so that you can bring this into a higher place. We have to look at it to see what are we adding to the mix? What are we adding to the pot? We don't need all the answers up front. We don't. But we need to trust ourselves and go within to identify our role as a key player and then bring change through whatever it is that we're creating, that what we're bringing to the plate, right? It's all about vibration and it's all about attraction. We're attracting. We're bringing to us the experience that we think that we need to have, whatever that is. If there's any kind of a glitch in this recording, it's because my internet glitched for a second and it kicked me out of the recording, so I apologize for that. But it's about vibration and attraction. That is all. That is all there is, right? There's no efforting. But when we're not in the highest alignment vibrationally, we're going to bring discordant energy to ourselves. So, a good question to ask yourself or journal on is where have I avoided the obvious in this situation or with this circumstance? How am I projecting my light, which dims our light, right? Because we can't project it because there is no efforting. How am I projecting my light by doing too much in order to be seen? Let me say that again. How am I projecting my light out to the collective by doing too much in order to be seen? Because sometimes we want to be seen so badly or we want to be liked so badly that we don't realize that we're overdoing it, or we're going to an extreme, or we're diminishing our light because we're efforting so much that the efforting actually lowers our vibration. Right? That goes back to when I talked about influencers. Okay. There's a lot of influencers out there that pay for bots, right? Because they want to be seen. They want to be seen as having 500,000 followers. Okay. But that false light of the 500,000 followers that are not real, they're paid for bots, is going to diminish their light instead of make their light stronger. And nothing they can do is going to change that because they're already playing in deficit energy. They're playing in lower vibrational energy. Nothing will change that. So we have to really pay attention to what it is that we're casting out into the universe. Okay. It's all about vibration. So we have to ask ourselves, what illusion am I playing in that has to end? Because eventually we're going to see a lot of changes out there. There's going to be a lot of changes to social media. I could tell you there's a lot of people that are going to email because social media is deteriorating, right? It's getting worse and worse and worse. But if somebody starts sending emails, they're assured of going right into the inbox. Okay. So that next phase is going to be taking the control back into our own hands again. So that's part of the illusion. Part of the illusion is that we need social media in order to stay afloat or stay above, right? That's an illusion. So we also need to ask ourselves, where have I played small for others by sacrificing myself? Okay. And I already talked about that. If you are, doing something for the sake of your family and it doesn't resonate with you, or it doesn't make you feel good, or it creates a problem, it's constant conflict, then you are sacrificing yourself. If we look at it from an influencer standpoint, if you're posting so that you can keep up with the masses and you can stay on top and win the popularity contest and all of that good stuff, then you're also playing in the illusion because there is no such thing. Because at the end of the day, you and your energy, your thoughts create the reality. We run the hologram, right? So there is nobody out there that you're trying to attract. It's the illusion. It's the illusion. And when you start to realize it, you stop playing in the illusion. So another part to the illusion is all these people, especially astrologers, talking about the Lionsgate portal, knowing that there really isn't a Lionsgate portal, but nobody wants to step up and admit there's no Lionsgate. There's no real activation anymore. There hasn't been for years. I talked about that in the last recording because nothing lines up. The planets don't line up in the way that they have to in order to make that activation. We haven't been using any of the portal energy because there is no more portal energy. It's all about gateways. And now the gateways are even shifting and changing. So we're not talking gateways anymore because everything is changing. These energies that are coming into the earth are changing the infrastructure. So this is why I'm saying don't go along with the masses just not to be judged. Create your own path. Right? Create your own pathway and don't go along with the masses because you need to put your energy in the highest vibrational alignment. Okay. Now, I am going to tell you that we are going to see, conflicts playing out because there's going to be continuous flares. Flares and these big energies create chaos. And sometimes chaos is not with other people. Sometimes chaos is on the earth through earthquakes. Sometimes chaos can be with other people, but most of the time it's in feeling chaotic. It's a feeling within because we're not resolving the energies. Okay. So it's important to really be present because these energies are bringing up whatever is unresolved, right? Giving us an opportunity to reflect on those things that we haven't brought to completion for whatever reason. Okay. And if we haven't resolve something and it comes around again, and I'll use the example of Chester. It's because there's still was something there that I really needed to look at. And that was the part where I realized I should have known better than to do that. But at the same time, I could be okay with what I did because in my heart of hearts, I was I felt I was giving him a better life, right? And until I'm 100% on board with that idea that I was doing it to give him a better life, I'm going to still feel the conflict of it. And it will still present itself every so often for me to go the next layer. It's like peeling an onion, right? No matter what type of healing you use, healing is like peeling the onion because we have to do it in layers. It's always going to look like that. It's always going to be like that. Okay. So stay present with all you do. Remember, you're not playing out against anybody else or anything else. It's the hologram and it's all you. It's your thoughts, your words, your actions, how you are interpreting and what you're thinking. If somebody does something and it pisses you off and it's not resolved within you, bring it to resolution and stop festering in it because it's only going to expand it and make it worse between you and the other person, right? It's a game we're playing out. Okay. I hope that this is helping you because it's very important to have this awareness. It's super important. I can't stress how important it is. Our next gathering is going to be a week, 2 weeks from today, on the 27th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. So if you want to get on the live, if you have any questions, or you need any help with anything, that's where we will be meeting on the 27th. All right. So that is it for now. Love you guys. Have a wonderful whatever it is that you're doing. And I look forward to connecting with you again soon. Take care. Bye-bye.